Right, let me just ask a question. What will you be doing tomorrow morning? Just think through your day tomorrow. What will you be doing? And who will you be meeting? In particular, think about whether you'll be meeting any people who would not call themselves Christians. And think about how will you engage with them. So the question our passage is going to ask us tonight is, how do we live out being Christians, followers of Jesus, in the world around us? How should we talk with other people? And not only that, but how should we get ready for that? And as Paul comes to the end of this letter to the church in Colossae, he's going to speak to us about those two things. How do we get ready, and how do we live out in the world around us as being followers of Jesus Christ? For those of you who've been with us the last few weeks, we know we've been looking at this book of Colossians, and God has been speaking to us. And the sort of central thing he's been saying to us is, keep Jesus Christ central. Remain in Jesus Christ. Keep him right at the heart of your lives and everything you do. Because right at the beginning, he gave us that wonderful view of Jesus, didn't he? The supreme creator, the one who made all things. And he's the one who, through his death on the cross, has made it possible for all people to be reconciled to God. We thought about what it means to live as one of God's people in the last couple of weeks. And then we get to this section. Let me read it again, verses 2 to 4. And I think my first thing I want to say is we are to devote ourselves to prayer. That's God's call. Paul writes, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. And I just want to begin by just thinking about that very first word, devote. Now, devotion. The World Cup is about to arrive, and I'm absolutely certain we're going to hear stories of devoted fans. You know, there will be those crazy stories of the fan who gave up all their annual leave and all their money, and they went to some city without even having a ticket, and then they spent an extortionate amount of money, probably thousands of pounds, getting a ticket to be at the game. Why do they do that? Because they are devoted. They are devoted to that cause, to their team. That may not be football that we're devoted to, but have a think, is there something you're devoted to? Is it your garden? Are you devoted to making it look good, or the allotment? Are you devoted to getting on holiday and having a good time? Or are you devoted to social media? Just can't get off your phone. We all have a habit of being devoted to different things. What does Paul call us to be devoted to? Devoted to prayer. Devoted to prayer. And what we have here is a regular, persistent prayer. He's calling people who follow Jesus to be those who are diligent, persistent, and regular in prayer. Now, as soon as I say that, my guess is the guilt level probably has gone up a bit in the room. Some of us here are just thinking, oh, it's going to be one of those talks. It's all about prayer, and I know I need to pray. And so the first thing I think we need to do is just come to the cross with that. See, Jesus Christ has died for our prayerlessness. Jesus Christ has died for our prayerlessness. We've learned already in Colossians that through Jesus' death, we are forgiven. We stand pure and blameless on the basis of Jesus' death alone. So just because we've not prayed doesn't mean we have a lesser standing with God, we're pure and blameless. So on one sense, we can put the past behind us and look to the future. And the question is, how are we going to seek to grow in our likeness of Christ, in our devotion to prayer? If you read through the Gospels, Jesus takes time out, doesn't he, to pray. For those at the men's convention last week, we were talking about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. See, Jesus himself was devoted to prayer. So I think the right thing is to ask God to be at work among us, to give us a heart by his Holy Spirit that will be devoted to prayer. And so first thing to do is think, maybe in our hearts a little bit, why do we not pray? Why do we not pray? Sometimes I think it all comes down to our view of God. We think God doesn't answer our prayers. Or we maybe slip into a kind of classic Muswell Hill thing. I think we can do it by ourselves. We're quite competent. We don't need God. Or maybe it's just in case we don't think prayer has any great value. I was at some birthday drinks for a friend of mine. He's from a Hindu background. And lots of the friends at these drinks were also from a Hindu background. And very quickly, the conversation gets to you, what do you do? You go, well, I'm an assistant minister at a church. And they go, well, what does that involve? It's just doing work on a Sunday? And you talk about what you do. But one thing you say you do is, well, part of my job is to pray. And you can see people kind of look at you and kind of go, your job is to pray. Your job is to pray. Because our world, I think, thinks prayer is of no value. And does that then seep into our church life where we think prayer is of little value? If you thought, do you want your minister spending lots of his time in prayer? Does that part of the job we've been set apart to do? Philip and I is the ministry of word, but also the ministry of prayer with that, to pray. We're all being called to pray. We're called to devote ourselves to prayer. So I want us to all have a think. What ways do we want to grow in this area? How can we grow to become more devoted to prayer? There's lots of practical things we can do. That's why we had the little PrayerMate app earlier. Because I think sometimes we don't pray because we're not very organised. I know my prayer life a few years ago, it was a transformation where I actually got around to getting myself a prayer diary that essentially works in the same way as the app. I've got one of these little books. I have different things to pray on different days. And it just makes sure it happens. Because you get up in the morning, say, to pray, and you're a bit tired. If you haven't got a list in front of you, it's just so much harder, isn't it? So why not find a way of just being diligent? What do I need to pray for? Particularly if you want to pray for spouses or for family. I just find being organised means that happens. Another thing, that practical thing to do is, why not make sure you've got some time set aside in a week to pray? Are you going to get up early and take a slot then? Is it going to be in the evening you're going to take a slot to pray? And it might be great to be putting a time aside every day, but maybe a time aside in the week, maybe for an hour, maybe at a weekend to do that. Jesus himself took time out from time to time to go and pray. Why don't we do that? Go for a walk, spend some time praying. If we're going to devote ourselves to prayer, let's make a habit of it. Let's work out what that might look like in our individual lives. Thirdly, meet with others to pray. One of the things we're encouraging at Pray 16 next week is to meet with others. Because I know that if I say I'm going to meet with other people to pray, I'm more likely to do it. A minister I know was talking to some of our younger ministers a few weeks back, and he said he gets some of the ladies from his church just to come in every week in the middle of the day to pray. Because he says, I just then know I'll devote an hour and a half to prayer because they are there with me, making me do it. Because you've set aside the time and you know other people are there, you'll spend that time praying. And when we meet with others, it's important to make sure we spend time praying and not just sharing prayer points. It's not just a time for a bit of chat, but let's get down and pray. It's one thing I love about Pray 16 when we gather together and we just have an hour and we just pray. The apostle calls us to devote our lives to prayer. Let me just move on a little bit. And he talks about what the content of that prayer should be. He calls it to be watchful and thankful. Let's think about those. Watchful. What does watchful prayer? Watchful has a sense of being alert. So taking the Colossian letter as a whole, I think my sense is watchful prayer is watching to make sure that we keep Jesus at the centre. So in our prayer lives, are we being watchful to keep Jesus Christ right at the centre? But prayer is also thankful. And thankfulness is a real theme of this letter. At chapter 2, verse 7, he talks about being overflowing with thankfulness. Last week we saw it in that chapter 3, three times that call to be thankful. So the question is our prayer life one of thankfulness? Are we giving thanks to God for all he's done for us? All he's done for us in Jesus Christ? All he's given us? Thankful for all the physical blessings he's given us? Homes and food and all those sort of things. God has given us so much, but are we thankful to him for it? Many of you will know I run a summer venture for 11 to 14 year olds, and my favourite prayer meeting of the week is on the last morning. Essentially the young people all head home and we clean the site, and then we just get together as a leader team and we just have a prayer meeting where we give thanks. That's all it is. Only prayers of thanks are allowed, and it's an extraordinary half an hour, 45 minutes, because what you hear is all God has been doing that week. And as you hear these prayers of thanks come in, you hear all the prayers that we prayed that have been answered. And then you hear how God has been at work in the lives of young people, transforming them as the word of God's been explained and the Spirit's been at work. Watchful and thankful, that's to be the mark of our devoted prayer life. And then we get to verses 3 and 4. And Paul prays, pray that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. So Paul is praying for an open door for the message. Now, it's worth just reflecting, where is Paul at this moment? He is in chains. And my temptation at this point, I think, would have been to pray, please can you pray that I get out of this prison? But he doesn't pray for an open door for himself. He prays for an open door for the message. See, his absolute priority is he wants the good news of Jesus to go out. The mystery of Christ that we've learnt in the book of Colossians is all about Jesus Christ and all he's achieved at the cross. The priority for Paul is that the message of Jesus goes out, and he knows that God has to open a door for that message. Sometimes you hear it said, oh, our culture is so apathetic. People are not really interested. But I think the response is we need to pray for an open door for the message. Your colleagues seem hard-hearted? Pray for an open door for the message. Your family seem hard-hearted? Pray for an open door for the message. We were trying to reach out with things like Chat and Play and with Fab Club and other things locally, Community Cafe, CAP Life Skills. But we need to pray for an open door for the message, otherwise those labours will be in vain. See, God needs to open a door for the message. And so will we devote ourselves to praying for that open door? Chatting to my wife this week about this talk, and she was telling the story of when she was a student and she was on the Christian Union Committee at Guy's and St. Thomas's Medical School. And she was saying that as a committee they met and they realised at some point that they were not being very prayerful. So they recommitted to praying. And they said one of the things they did was they set up this early morning prayer meeting on a Wednesday morning down at Guy's Chapel or something, and they just got together and they prayed. And she said she remembers 6 months later, the CU president was saying to them, guys, you notice what's happening? We started praying and 6 months later people become Christians. We pray for an open door for the message. And then interesting, you get this final thing. Paul says, pray that I will preach it as I should. Because there will be a temptation to not preach the true gospel, the true message of Jesus Christ. They'll be tempted to water it down or change it. He says, and I feel that temptation, because we want to be people pleasers. But we want to please God, and therefore we proclaim the true message as we should. And it's worth thinking, what would that look like? I wonder if it's this in our culture today. Repentance. The Bible's quite clear that we're to call people to repent and believe in Jesus. And that means, repentance, by definition, means we've got to accept that we've done something wrong. And our culture, I think, just hates that. It thinks it's completely self-sufficient. And yet the message of the good news of Jesus is this: we need to repent of the fact that we've not treated God as we should. So actually, we do need to call people to repentance. We need to say to people, actually, you are a sinner. But the wonderful news is you've been saved by grace because God loves you in Jesus Christ. And so let's pray that we proclaim the message as we should. So that's my first point. We are to devote ourselves to prayer. We're to be watchful, keeping Jesus at the centre, be thankful for all he's done, pray for an open door for the message, and pray that we should proclaim it as we should. And that then leads us on to my second little imperative that Paul gives. We are to be wise in the way we act towards outsiders, and this is verses 5 and 6. Paul writes, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. See, prayer is not mission, but before we go out and do mission, we need to pray. But now we're out engaging with the world around us. And how should we talk to people tomorrow when we're at work? Well, Paul gives us some instructions on how we do that. And he says we're to be wise in the way we act. And then he fleshes out what this wise way looked like. It's a making the most of every opportunity. It's being gracious in the way we speak, but it's also speaking seasoned with a bit of salt and answering all. So let me say a few things about those. Firstly, we're to make the most of every opportunity. So just think about your day tomorrow. What opportunities will God give you to potentially speak about Jesus? So first, we need to pray for those opportunities. We're not praying for them, they won't come. But actually, there are the little conversations where we actually have more opportunities than sometimes we realise. So I was speaking to someone recently, started talking to me about pilgrimages. Not a believer. I think he was slightly thinking of his holiday. But it's very interesting. Very quickly, you can go from a pilgrimage conversation, can't you, to a conversation about God and then a conversation about Jesus. So what is the point of going on a pilgrimage? Why do people go on pilgrimages? To find God? Because it's some sort of spiritual thing? How about this? You go on a... Why do you want a pilgrimage? To find God? We don't need to go somewhere to find God, do we? To find God in Jesus Christ. We don't need to go on a pilgrimage to please God. Because as Christians we know, it's all been done in Jesus Christ. We don't need to earn our place by going on a special pilgrimage. Again, just a conversation I was having generally, suddenly there's an opportunity to potentially speak about Jesus. And then we had the royal wedding a couple of weeks back. We had the bishop's talk, really talked about, and no doubt many of you had conversations at work or with friends or colleagues or family. We can have a debate about whether the bishop made the most of the opportunity, but did we make the most of the opportunity to talk about the sermon? When things come up in the news, let's talk about them. And let's be ready to speak about it from a Christian perspective. And let's be ready to speak about Jesus. So let's make the most of every opportunity as they come through the day. Let's not shirk back, let's speak about Jesus when those opportunities come. Our conversations are to be full of grace. We're not to be obnoxious, we're not to be arrogant, we're to be gracious and loving. That's to be the mark of who we are and how we speak. But they're also to be seasoned with salt. And why do we have salt? Salt stops things being bland. We put salt on food, we don't want to be bland. And so I take a saltiness, means a sort of speaking of Jesus type conversation. We want to be people who say something about Jesus. So let's just do a little thought experiment. I was on my camp training this weekend, so this is where some of these things have come from. But I was thinking, if I were going into work on Monday morning, which is what I used to do when I worked as a solicitor, and people say, what were you doing over the weekend, or maybe after camp in the summer? There's various options of answers you can give. So you could kind of not say anything. That would be bad. That's not making the most of the opportunity. You could then say, well, I help run a summer residential for young people. Now, that's a bit better, but they might just turn around and say, well, that's very noble of you, you're a very noble person, and you've taken your charity days to do it, so what a good way to do it. Still feels a bit bland to me. How about moving on a little bit more? We say, help run a Christian summer venture for young people at my church. It's a bit better, it's a bit more salty. How about this? I help run a venture for young people so they could hear all about Jesus. It's got a bit more bite to that, hasn't it? Because Jesus is mentioned. It strikes me as we read in this book of Colossians, it's all about Christ. Are we willing to speak of Christ? In our culture, speaking about God and faith is generally okay, but Jesus? But yet all our hope is tied up in Jesus. So let's be people who speak about Jesus. He's the supreme creator. He's the one who reconciles all people to himself. So we are to be wise in the way we act towards outsiders. And let's be praying that we make the most of every opportunity, have salty conversations about Jesus so that we might answer everyone. And as we go about doing that, let's be praying for an open door for the message of Jesus. So why don't I pray for us now that we'd be able to go from here and do that very thing. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for these words you've spoken to us this evening. And so, Father, we ask that your Spirit would come and please create in us hearts that want to be devoted to prayer. Would our prayer be watchful and thankful? Please, would you open a door for the message of Jesus Christ amongst our friends and family and neighbours and colleagues. And pray that we proclaim it as we should. Please help us to be wise in the way we act towards outsiders. Please help us to make the most of every opportunity. Please let our conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that we may know how to answer everyone. Please give us these opportunities this week. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.